Play ball.
It's a perfect game.
The kid's hit his first home run.
Sox win! Sox win!
This is Chicago White Sox professional baseball on 720 WGN. Here with the pregame show, welcome Andy Mazur.
Sox bats were shut down last night by the division-leading Cleveland Indians in a 4-0 loss to the Tribe. I'm Andy Mazur, and welcome to White Sox pregame. Glad to have you with us here tonight. Another uneven performance by starter Lucas Giolito, who looked unhittable for 3 2/3, but then lost his command, and the Indians took advantage of the tall right-hander.
I'm beating myself 100%. My sinker was good today. My pitches felt good when I threw them right. It's just not doing it enough, not throwing the ball over the plate. You know, I'm going out there walking a bunch of guys. I'm not going to have success that way. I just need to kind of find that click or whatever it is to go out there and be consistent and throw the ball over the plate.
Yeah, Giolito now 4-7 on the year after going just 5 innings yesterday, walking 4 and striking out 3. Tonight, the White Sox turned to veteran James Shields. He's pitched so much better than a 1-7 record, eating up innings and keeping the White Sox in games of late. He's going to face the youngster Adam Pletko, who has just returned from AAA. More on the pitching matchup is coming up with Ed and DJ later on. A White Sox player leading a category after the first round of All-Star voting. Plus, we'll get you a farm report all coming up on the WGN White Sox Radio Network. Welcome back here on White Sox pregame. I'm Andy Mazur, the White Sox and the Cleveland Indians. It's the middle game of this 4-game series. Cleveland winning last night's game, as mentioned earlier. Time now to get a look at our pitching matchup for this evening. And for the details, we send things over to Ed and DJ.
Tonight, it's James Shields pitching for the White Sox at 1-7. Darren with an earned run average, very respectable in these times anyway, at 4.92. He's 1-7 with that earned run average. On the other side, just back from the minor leagues, you're listening to White Sox pregame show on WGN Radio, and this is the Sox Radio Network.
And welcome back here to White Sox pregame. I'm Andy Mazur at Guaranteed Rate Field. White Sox and the Indians. It's game two of this 4-game series here on the South Side. White Sox baseball is being sponsored by Geico. Saving you money on car insurance has been in Geico's wheelhouse for 75 years. So after the game, get a quote at geico.com and see how much you could save. Geico's so easy, a caveman can do it. Well, we get to the ballpark today, and there was some good news out of Major League Baseball. They released the first round of balloting for this year's All-Star game, and there is a familiar name at the top of the first baseman category, Jose Abreu, leading Boston's Mitch Moreland by around 26,000 votes after the first round. And even though it's early, everybody in that Sox clubhouse was excited for Abreu, including teammate Tim Anderson.
It's great. Y'all obviously deserve it. You know, having a heck of a year and just continue to hit doubles and, just being themselves and having fun. He's just, a heck of a ball player. Heck of a person on and off the field, and such a great teammate.
And that is the consensus about Abreu, who kind of walks tall and carries that big stick. I mean, when he talks, people listen in that clubhouse as well, and a very well-respected leader amongst the 25 men in that clubhouse every day. Now, Abreu, I couldn't believe this. I was looking this up, and I saw this in the White Sox game notes today. He is the first Sox player to lead at any point of the balloting process since Frank Thomas won the fan vote at first base in 1996. So it would be tremendous if this was able to work out for him. And General Manager Rick Hahn was asked about Abreu yesterday. It was not specifically about the voting since we didn't know about it yesterday, but more about the contributions to the White Sox now and into the future.
We've made no secret about our affection for Jose, and it's not just based upon the contribution between the white lines. It's based on what he does in that clubhouse. I don't think there's a finer representative for what it means to be a White Sox, or what we hope for our players to be on and off the field, than what Jose Abreu provides us. Again, we don't have to make any decisions on how he fits for the long term for a little while now. He's under control through the end of next season, and if at that point, before that point, we haven't come to terms on an extension, we certainly will have time then to revisit the matter then.
All right, Rick Hahn on Jose Abreu. Let's talk about tonight's game as well. We mentioned that James Shields will be the guy going to the mound here for the White Sox. I mentioned in the open that he's pitched so much better than his 1-7 record would show. He's thrown at least 6 innings in 9 straight starts, his longest streak since 2016 when he went 13 in a row. Now, a couple of starts ago, He was here facing the Milwaukee Brewers on the south side, and it did not go very well for him in that outing, and he did show a little frustration following the game.
I mean, frankly, I don't really care about the rebuild right now. I care about winning. I mean, they keep talking about rebuild. I'm trying to win ball games right now, period. I mean, I don't like losing. You know, we're losing ball games right now, and they can keep talking about rebuild, but at the end of the day, we got to win ball games right now. I'm not worried about this rebuild. I'm worried about winning right now.
Yeah, and James Shields, as everybody knows, is a competitor. He's a veteran. He's 36 years old. He's older than most of the guys, if not everybody, in that in the player-wise in that clubhouse, but is also a very well-respected member of that clubhouse as well. Now, Rick Hahn got asked about those comments yesterday, and even though they seem kind of counterintuitive to what the White Sox are trying to accomplish, the GM did not take those comments in that respect.
I thought it was great what he expressed. I think, as you've heard me say, we want the 25 guys in that room and all the coaches focus on winning as many ball games as possible. They don't have to be concerned with necessarily the long-term direction or plan for the organization. They have to be concerned about winning that ball game on a given night. Jamie's been tremendous, not just in terms of what he's been able to accomplish recently between the white lines, but the way, the amount of time and effort he puts forward these young players. He may say he, you know, doesn't want to talk about the rebuild or whatever, but he is playing an important role in that clubhouse and helping these young guys take that next step. Young guys who conceivably will be here perhaps longer than James is. So that's a very selfless act by him to do that.
And it's a good perspective there by the general manager, who does understand that you know, there's more to this whole thing than just the young players. And I think what he meant by the fact that James Shields is playing a more vital role than maybe he even realizes is that a lot of these guys look up to him. And I remember asking him at the beginning of the season whether or not he waits for the young players to approach him or if he takes it upon himself to go and talk to them. And he said it's kind of a combo platter. He said it depends on the player and it depends on the situation and exactly how he feels about it, whether or not he'll go to the guy or wait for a young man to come to him. So a good problem to have, really, with a veteran, with the competitiveness of James Shields lockering in that room next to several of the younger pitchers. And not just the pitchers. I mean, the players, regular everyday players, see how he battles out there as well, which is definitely a good thing. All right, stick with us. Coming up, we're going to get you the Farm Report. That is straight ahead here on the WGN White Sox Radio Network. Back at the ballpark, Andy Mazur with you here on White Sox pregame. It's the White Sox and the Cleveland Indians, game two of the four-game series coming up. Our Farm Report is sponsored by the Village of Bedford Park, building for the future. I want to go back to something that Rick Hahn mentioned yesterday. There was a lot of talk in the dugout when we got to spend about 20, 25 minutes with the GM yesterday before the game. A lot of talk, as you can imagine, from the members of the media was, when are we going to see Michael Kopech? When are we going to see Eloy Jimenez? Both the guys right now, obviously Jimenez in Double-A with Birmingham and Kopech pitching for the Triple-A Charlotte Knights. And I thought that I would play this for you because I really think that it sums up the feeling of this organization very succinctly, very candidly, exactly what Rick Hahn's plan is.
We don't have answers to that right now. If there continues to be various developmental matters that each of them are working on, and all I can say is we are trying to put them in the best position to have long-term success. And as thrilling as it would be to potentially have one or both or other enticing prospects up here tonight, just because that'd be interesting and exciting and perhaps even show some level of advancement in this rebuild, what happens here is going to have nothing to do with when these players arrive. It's going to be based strictly upon their own development and when they're ready for the next challenges presented by the big league level. Now, eventually they will tend to force that issue. I think I've said it before and I'll say it again. You know, Eloy is going to stop in Charlotte. So those expecting him to come straight from Birmingham or thinking his next stop is Chicago haven't been paying attention to what the developmental plan is for him. Kopech, you know, he has put some together a few real good starts, and he's had others that still show you the elements that he needs improvement in.
And Hahn would go on to say, too, that he's not going to sit here in front of the Chicago media and break down everything that the organization wants Michael Kopech to work on. He's not going to do that start by start by start. I mean, the kid knows, the developmental staff at Triple A knows, and they'll understand when it's time to bring a guy like Michael Kopech to the big leagues. Same thing with Eloy Jimenez. There's things along the developmental plan that they want to see him exposed to Triple A pitching for however long it ends up being. And however long it takes him to get to AAA. We're not even sure of that at this point. So I just figured I'd play that for you because I wanted to make sure that everybody understands where Rick Hahn is coming from as far as the developmental plan for both of those guys is concerned. All right, AAA Charlotte, the Knights were off last night. They're going to start a series against Durham tonight. And Avi Garcia is going to begin his rehab assignment for Charlotte. We'll keep you updated on that. Jordan Stevens is going to pitch for Charlotte tonight. He's the fifth-round pick back in 2015. Combined 6-3 with a 3-10 between stops in Birmingham and now Charlotte 2-2 in AAA. And they made a roster move today, did Charlotte. Spencer Adams has been promoted from Birmingham, and the team released pitcher T.J. House. So Double A, the Barons lost to Tennessee last night 5-3, though Danny Mendick, his eighth home run of the season, a three-run shot. He went 2-for-4 in the game. Eloy Jimenez, 1-for-4, his average now sitting at .319. Jordan Guerrero went 6 innings, gave up 6 hits, 3 runs, walked 1, and struck out 4. Tonight, it'll be Connor Walsh going to the mound here for the Barons. Class A, Winston-Salem. The Dash beat Myrtle Beach yesterday 10-7. Blake Rutherford with a big game. He highlighted a 5-run bottom of the 6th inning, a 3-run triple in the series opener. Mike Rodolfo, 1-for-5 with a double and an RBI. Luis Alexander Basabe had a big game as well, 3-for-5 with a triple. Taquan Forbes, 3-for-4 with a double and a triple, and 3 runs scored as well. Class A Kannapolis had its game canceled yesterday. They're going to play a doubleheader later on today. Time now for the injury report, which is sponsored by Mercy Hospital and Medical Center. For heart and vascular care, choose Mercy. Leury Garcia, Avi Garcia, and Nicky Delmonico, each on the 10-day disabled list. As just mentioned, Avi Garcia starting his rehab assignment with Charlotte tonight. And according to General Manager Rick Hahn that we talked to yesterday, Leury Garcia not too far behind Avi Garcia and going out on a rehab assignment. So hopefully that'll be within the next few days as well. Who Am I Banking On? Is brought to you by Marquette Bank, Chicagoland's neighborhood bank. Love where you bank. And tonight, I'm going to go with Jose Abreu. I mean, the guy leads all American League first basemen after the first round of All-Star voting. He is second in the league with 25 doubles. He's on pace to shatter the record of the franchise. He's on pace for 63 doubles in the season. He's hit safely in 13 of his last 17 games, though slumping of late. He is just 4-for-22. That's a .182 batting average over his last 6 games. No real significant numbers to give you on either side here against Adam Pletko. So not really worth it to go into 3 at-bats. It doesn't really tell you a whole lot about what a guy might do against another pitcher. The bullpen, let's talk about them for a second here. The bullpen has thrown 19 2/3 consecutive scoreless innings and owns a 1.85 earned run average so far here in the month of June. And that's certainly good news. The starters have been doing all right as well. I mean, it's just not yesterday. Unfortunately, Lucas Giolito running into some issues there after looking so good early in the game and still kind of blaming himself for it and trying to find that sweet spot, so to speak, for the release point and also just to kind of get through a game without himself beating himself up or beating himself, as he mentioned in that clip that we played in the opening segment of our show here today. All right, we're going to take a quick timeout, and when we come back, we're going to wrap things up and get you all ready for the first pitch of this game as the White Sox and the Cleveland Indians, game 2 of the 4-game series, coming up in just a moment here on the WGN White Sox Radio Network. And welcome back here to Guaranteed Rate Field, home of the Chicago White Sox. It's the White Sox and the Cleveland Indians about to get going here in game 2 of our 4-game series. The pitching matchup tonight, James Shields goes for the White Sox at 1-7 against Adam Pletko with a record of 3-0 for the Indians. Let's pause now 10 seconds for station identification here along the WGN White Sox Radio Network.
It's great to be back with WGN.
The new home of Chicago White Sox baseball. 720 WGN Chicago.
All right, time for baseball here is the Sox and the Indians. Game 2 of the 4-game set. Ed and DJ have the call next here on the WGN White Sox Radio Network.